Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the Ready to Water Guns. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. There are four passages that the Apostle Paul writes and says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. While these four statements were written to preachers, and that is found in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, but they were for all to accept, worthy of all acceptation. So by telling these preachers these sayings, Paul was warning these preachers to teach them to their hearers who would accept and who would benefit from what has been taught. So what I want us to do is to study each one of these faithful sayings and see what good that we can obtain from them. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, we find our first one. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friends, here we have the sum of the gospel of Christ. It was in John 1 and verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We look at the book of Philippians and look at chapter 2. Let's begin our reading at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, we know that Jesus came into the world in Matthew 9 and verse 13 in his own words and said, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's Luke that records Jesus' words that he came to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke 10 and verse 10. So all of this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all of us to accept. What we're dealing and talking about here is good news. This is good news, and we all should embrace it. So let us all receive this faithful saying with love and partake of the salvation that's available through Christ's work while he was here upon this earth. A second verse is 1 Timothy 4. It's in verses 8 and 9 that we read, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You see, there's actually something more profitable and more useful for us than bodily exercise. And what that is godliness. What's godliness? Well, the word godliness, as defined by W.E. Vine in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, says that godliness denotes that piety which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing unto him. You know, it's in John chapter 8 that Jesus made a statement in verse 29, and if truly we're to follow in the steps of Jesus, here is one of those verses that we need never to forget. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 29, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Friends, that's as good of a definition of godliness as I know to be found. The godly will exercise themselves unto godliness. This is going to require constant effort. Constant, and let me say, deliberate effort. When we slack off of bodily exercise, what happens? Well, do we not understand that the same holds true for slacking off of godliness? The same is true of true godliness. We must exercise and exercise godliness daily. Exercising ourselves unto godliness, what these verses are saying, is more beneficial because bodily exercise profits only for a short time. Friends, our physical bodies, regardless of how much we exercise, one day they're going to die. The Ecclesiastes writer said in chapter 9 and verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die." And how true that is. But our soul will continue on. The same writer of Ecclesiastes said in chapter 12 and verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Friends, we all need, let me say it this way, we all must see that there is more to be gained from godliness than to be gained from physical exercise. Only godliness can promise benefits not only for the life that now is, but also for that which is to come. The things that we gain by godliness relies upon God's promises. The promises made to godly people involves our life right now, but also involves our future life with God in heaven. Is not the emphasis of the New Testament on spiritual and eternal blessings? What did Jesus say in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21? "Lay up for yourselves treasure." Where? In heaven. What did Paul say in Colossians 3 and verse 2? "Set your affection" where? On things above. If we have only a few of the good things here, we shall be greatly blessed in eternity. But in exercising godliness, it's not enough to just stop doing evil. We must do right. In Isaiah 1, the statement is found in verses 16 and 17. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Another passage that we find this phrase is 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 14. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." In that verse 11, it said, if you be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we faithfully follow Christ and do his word, we will have the advantage in the world to come. If we are dead to this world, to its sensual pleasures, to its temptations, we'll be able to live with God in a better world and be with Him forever. See, whatever we have to suffer, whatever we have to sacrifice in this life, it says, if we suffer, we also shall reign with Him. On the other hand, if we prove to be unfaithful to the Lord, we're going to be the loser. Verse 12 of what we read says, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. It's in Matthew 10 and verse 33 that Jesus said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. But do we understand that being dead with Christ comes before living with Him? It's in Luke 9 and verse 23 that Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it is that denying self and following Christ is the way that we will live with Him in eternity. And then the fourth passage and the final one on this phrase is Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, the duties of a Christian, the duties of all Christians have in common, is to worship, is to study the Bible, it's to do good to all men, it's to visit the sick and the widows, it's to show hospitality, it's to teach others. All of these things are for our own good, and they benefit others. See, Paul is showing Titus how that he must constantly teach the importance of Christians continuing to do what is their duty to do. Friends, faith alone won't save. Many in denominations believe that it does, and I'm afraid there are many in the Lord's church who think that it does. In James 2, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And then it's in verse 24 of James 2, it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Friends, faith must work. Faith must work beyond our initial obedience to the first principles of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Romans 10:17, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But, again, faith alone is not going to save. James says that very, very clearly in James 2, verse 24. We just read it. So we must do the works that God has authorized, not the works that I've imagined, not the works that some other man or some denomination or some church has imagined, but we must do the works of God along with our faith. And it's a work of God for us to repent. Why? Because God commanded us to repent. Jesus commanded us to repent. Luke 13 and verse 3, except you repent, Jesus says, you will perish. So when I repent, am I doing a work of man? No. Am I doing a work of some church? No. I'm doing the work of what Jesus said do. When I confess Christ with my mouth, Romans 10 and verse 10, that's what confession is. And we see the example of the confession in passages like Matthew 16 and verse 17, where Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The eunuch in Acts 8, when he's asked by Philip, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession. And Jesus said, except you confess me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So Jesus commands confession, and Jesus commands baptism. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the Lord saying it, not me, not some church, not the church at East Abbotville. That's the Lord saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then we must do as what's stated here in Titus 3 and verse 8. We must maintain good works. So these are the faithful sayings that are profitable to us. We see our time is gone. We appreciate you listening. Hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Abbotville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.